Welcome to Manufacturing Talk Radio, your source for breaking news, business trends, and economic forecasts here and abroad that impact one-third of America's economy. And now your hosts, Lou Weiss and Tim Grady.
This is Tim Grady, and we do have breaking news today. I'm here with my co-host, Lou Weiss. We have on the air with us Tim Fiore, who is the committee chair for the Institute of Supply Management's Manufacturing Report on Business. So we've got a great and exciting show. Lou, looks like we've got great numbers. We're excited to talk to Tim about it.
Actually, I don't want to talk to Tim about it. I want to go out and start cutting billet and start shipping. Welcome aboard, Tim.
Yeah, good to see you guys. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, too.
Thank you, and the same to all of our listeners. Tim, why don't you give us the summary, because it's just too good to wait for.
Yeah, you're right. So PMI closed the year at 59.7, which is our second highest expansion level in almost 7 years. And the only number that was higher was the September number that had a lot of impacts from the hurricane baked in. So this is really a good pure number. It's primarily driven by two of the five indexes, the new order index and the production index. On the new order side, 69.4 expansion. That's a 14-year high. We haven't seen a number that high since January of 2004. Really felt good. 15 of the 18 industries expanded. All of the big six industries reported expansion. Last month we had five. This month we have six. And it's the seventh straight month of over 60 expansion. And I think if you did the average on it, it's probably more like 63, 64. So that's really a good number. I mean, if you think about in the range, we kind of move within a 25-point range. I mean, that at a 13, you know, you're 50% improvement above what we were doing last month, theoretically. The other element here is production. Go ahead, Lou.
Just as a comment to having the 69.4 new orders in the month of December, which typically is a quote unquote short month, it makes it even that much more dramatic.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, there's a lot of comments here around positioning for 2018. A lot of discussion around making sure that people hit their plan in 2017. So, a bunch of things going on here, but, fundamentally at a 69 number, it's probably a combination of all of that. And that's why the number is so high, 14-year high. And then, if you couple that with a production number that is at a 7.5-year high, production number came in at 65.8, which is a 7.5-year high. It goes back to May of 2010, that says that, okay, in spite of the suppliers still struggling to deliver, in spite of the fact that employment growth didn't grow as fast in the month, we're still able to ship a significant amount of product out. But then if you look at the overall demand, which I like to look at, it's new orders, customer inventories, and backlog, we still weren't able to keep up with the true need, because customer inventories declined again to a 42 level, which is way too low, and the backlog grew by 1 point. So this is all, this is all the wave moving into Q1 of 2018. I think we're on a strong footing.
That that inventory number, that should indicate January, and I'm willing to make a forecast that January's number is going to be pretty high.
Right, right. The raw material inventory, I thought that the number actually would be less than 48.5. The prior month was 47. So it came up somewhat. And then we did get a lot of comments about the Chinese New Year. And if you notice on the import side, we were up 3 points. So, and the import number has been strong. It's been expanding all year, but not really strong. But we went from 54.5 to 57.5 just in that month of December. And That may have impacted the raw material inventory number. A lot of companies, if they're buying stuff out of Southeast Asia or other non-places, they take title of it when it goes on a ship, and it'll show up in the inventory side. But I thought the inventory number would actually drop more than it did. But I think what that really says is people are so optimistic about 2018 that they weren't micromanaging cash to the extent that they normally do.
Tim, the production number, how much headroom does manufacturing have left in it? Their capacity utilization has got to be pretty far up there.
Well, you know, we just finished a semi-annual, and we believe that we closed 2017 operating at about 86%.
Wow.
And we believed in December of 2016 that we were operating at 82%. And then in December of 2015, at 82% also. So we've definitely stepped up the game in terms of productivity here. Where's the break point when reinvestment has to occur? A lot of it's going to be based on optimism. And, none of these numbers you see here really were impacted at all by the fiscal policy that has been signed into law over the last couple of weeks. We had very few comments about tax and deregulation. In fact, we had one comment out of hundreds. So that's all upside at this point. And, you know, I think the demand that we're seeing here is pure demand. It's not being fueled by anything that should be worrisome.
Actually, I made a lot of comments about the tax bill, but I'm going to not do that today.
Now, well, employment came down, Tim, in December. Is there a reason why employment would be down in December? Is it, people not at work because of vacations or what?
Well, it's still expanding. It's expanded at a 28% level compared to the prior month. Because remember, we start every month essentially at 50. So employment is at 57 versus the prior month at 59.7. So it didn't expand at the same rate as we did in November. And a lot of comments continue around the inability to find qualified workers, the fact that some of their suppliers are having difficulty finding people, the cost per hour of employees. The discussion continues. There are also some comments around seasonal labor being released and other comments around not replacing some people as they close the year. And those comments were fairly common for November and December. So I guess I'm not all that surprised about the fact that we saw an employment drop. It didn't drop dramatically. I think the whole issue around employment and staffing up appropriately is going to become really acute in January and February. At this point, I would say that we're not restricting production because we got to almost a 66 level of expansion, given that employment didn't expand anywhere near what production did, but at some point that will cause an issue. And as I mentioned last month and at the semi-annual, all the merit budgets, the performance budgets, the bonuses, you've seen the comments from some of the Fortune 500 about making special payments because of the tax relief. All that's going to come into play in January. If you're hiring people at higher rates, cost per hour rates, than you did at the beginning of the year, in many cases, you're bringing people on that are going to make more money than somebody who's been there for a year, and that's never a good social situation. So I would say that employment right now is probably the single biggest potential constraint to the continued growth in manufacturing, and that this is the time of year where companies can address that effectively through wage growth.
Tim, talking about the new orders, just as an observation from my business at All Metals and Forge, it seems as though oil has really spiked also. We're seeing a lot of repeat business from a year ago coming in the last 2 months, and the oil prices have been higher. So I think part of that comes from oil and gas, which is nice to see.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I mean, in the case of the PMI, in the case of new orders, and I think actually in production too, all six of our big industry sectors expanded, and petroleum and coal products, which is the refinery side of oil, are in those big six. So, things look pretty good there. I think the cost of oil has grown somewhat, probably
right.
A factor of the dollar strength, but then it's not taking off like $70, $80, $90 a barrel. So it seems to be, we kind of watch the active rig count stuff as you do too, Lou, and it seems like more and more rigs are coming back online. So, there was some issues with distribution. There's probably some additional export activity that's occurred out of the U.S. because of what happened in the North Sea. But, hey, everything seems to be humming along here really well. I mean, I think the single biggest issue is probably the qualified labor, how quickly you can get them. What we need to be mindful of is that, you know, you don't want people jumping ship, which is you want to retain your employees. You know how long it takes to train a good employee. You don't want them leaving.
Forever.
And, yeah, it takes forever, right? So you want to make sure you retain them. And, you know, my guess is that's going to be a really big issue in the boardrooms of the U.S. manufacturing companies in January and February is how do we retain our people? And then how do we attract additional people into the company?
That's a whole other topic that we've talked about to nauseam on Manufacturing Talk Radio about what's going on in the skill gap issue and the retirement and the millennials and so on and so forth. It's certainly a problem that is not going to go away anytime soon.
Yeah, I would agree with you. Yeah, it's a long-term issue, right? I mean, we have to get the head back on, have to get the heads on the shoulders of all the new entrants and make sure that they know where they should go to have a good living.
I don't know if you are aware, and I'm going to plug our other show, Women and Manufacturing, where we have six accomplished women interviewing accomplished women in manufacturing, and we've done seven or eight shows already, and you can find those shows at mfgtalkradio.com and soon to be on its own website within the short period of time going forward. So you might want to listen to that because they're really fantastic ladies that we've had on the show, some of whom you know.
Yeah, it's a great show. I listen to all of them. I pass it out to my network. It's very valuable to all people in the manufacturing sector, whether they're men or women. It's very insightful, and there's, you know, a lot of really good information there from some really good experts in the area.
Keep going, Tim. Don't stop now.
I really do enjoy it. It's good to hear.
I do have a question for you on your food, beverage, and tobacco products respondent who said the economy is strong and business is strong, yet signals of headwinds in 2018 are persistent. Did you get any idea of what kind of headwinds they're anticipating?
Well, you know, the only thing I could come up with, I mean, we have a lot of comments around material that's up in price, down in price, and short. And you're not seeing a lot of them show up in the food side. But we do have a lot of stuff that doesn't make our threshold. And it appears that some of the basic, you know, the corns, the soybeans are pretty flush. So, and I don't know the specific reason for that, meaning, you know, they're lower in price than people would really expect. You know, you've seen recently the dairy side continues to have issues. It's a good question, really, to put to Tony, because Tony has a lot more of that insight than I do. The guys that are in my sector are essentially processors, whereas Tony's got the agricultural piece. But, you know, I think it goes back to you know, the basic elements of what makes up food and how much has actually been grown versus how much is actually needed. And, you know, my experience has always been when your input costs are growing and there's a demand for your products, you can grow your price and your margin expands. And so the reverse is also true. If your input prices are dropping, it's harder to retain your margin. So that, mm-hmm. I mean, that could be the headwinds that they're talking about. But my experience has always been that material cost growth usually leads to, you know, better profits at the end user level.
Well, it's interesting. I wasn't going to ask about headwinds because the report is so strong, but then I saw the comment, so I had to raise the issue. Certainly, prices seem to have taken a pop this month, and I've kind of been waiting to see when manufacturing was going to begin to pass on some of the price increases they're experiencing on the raw material side. So it looks like that's beginning to happen. Is that your read of it?
Well, it feels like it because, you know, profitability is good. Margins are expanding according to our semi-annual for 2017, and the belief is that 2018 will do the same. There are signs that productivity are improving too for the 2017 period, so that's always a plus up for margin expansion. So, and you know that we haven't had stellar wage growth, although we probably are, you know, aligned to see that start to grow. But, you know, I think that prices are up. Our index number is high, 69. The number that was really where we peaked recently is at 71.5 in September. 69 is a strong number, and there were a lot of industry sectors that reported price growth, 17 of 18 versus 15 of 18 in November. So, you know, probably quite a bit of that has to do with, you know, the new order activity probably had a lot to do with laying in orders for February, March delivery. That's when, you know, the big manufacturing season really starts. And, you know, we went through the budget period in October and November, and, you know, suppliers provided their prices for 2018. We're probably seeing reissuing orders now that reflect those prices. And most likely that's why you're seeing the price index go up to 69, because it's being seen and realized, maybe not paid, but it's being committed to. So that would be my guess as to what's happening. In addition, you know, there's a lot of comments about ending the year on plan, and, you know, sometimes expedite fees and things will find their way into your material costs, and, you know, we may have seen some of that as we close the year. So, you know, the positive signs, all the world economies are doing fairly well. You know, Japan, China's not doing as well as it has in the past, but it's still doing well. Europe, a lot of comments from Europe about Europe maintaining its momentum. Brazil is recovering somewhat. You know, a lot of these places like China drive the commodity market. They drive iron ore, copper, aluminum prices. Copper prices are still strong, aluminum. Although maybe a little bit weaker this month, it still showed up on our list. Iron ore prices on the spot market seem to be growing again. Steel prices on the spot market are at 650, 640 something, which, you know, we've seen them as low as 590. They're up to 640. That indicates, you know, people are laying orders in for their steel, hot roll coil, now for delivery in February. My issue with steel has always been if steel prices stay up through April, then you have a strong momentum. This year in 2017, they generally did stay up. They saw a little bit of a decline, but not a really drastic decline. So, and the last comment here is, you know, we had an 81.5 diffusion index number for outlook for 2018. That's a really high number. So remember, the diffusion index, we take 100% of the positives, and we take half of the sames, and we ignore the worse. So, you know, with those kind of numbers, almost 90% of our respondents said that 2018 is going to be better than 2017. And that was before the tax activity.
I'm not sure if anybody knows what the tax is going to do or not do for us.
Yeah, still figuring it out, right? But, you know, but we know that there's going to be a slight charge on repatriating funds. We know that there is going to be an additional tax if you keep the funds. The tax on the interest that you're paying to your subsidiaries if you keep the funds overseas. We know that there's going to be accelerated depreciation for tax purposes. And, you know, those are all good things. And we know that the tax rate is going to drop. So, I mean, there's no doubt that the fiscal policy is going to help. Question becomes, how much does it help? And, you know, we won't really know that probably until this time next year.
Correct.
No question about that. The other two, and go ahead, Tim.
Yeah, I was going to talk about CapEx expenditures plan for 2018. So, you know, with the semiannual, we said that in 2017 we spent about 8.7% of CapEx in excess of 2016. So, and you know that we forecast a 2.7% CapEx for 2018 compared to 2017. So, you know, generally that looks low. That's still, you know, 13-14% more than 2016. But I believe, and I think the facts supported that, is that when we did our semi-annual, the benefit of accelerated depreciation was definitely not in the plans or even reported to us because of the timing on it. So, I would say just like we talked earlier about wage and salary growth in the first quarter, there's probably an out-of-plan CapEx plan for each significant company that now with the tax plan in place, you know, they'll go to the board, get approval to recapitalize or spend additional capital or maintenance capital, whatever. And I don't think that we've really reflected that in any of our reports so far. So, you know, there's some talk that, you know, we might do a probe in, with our community to see what their thoughts are around taxes. We're probably going to give it a little time for it to filter into the companies. But you know, keep your eye out for maybe a special report on what the tax plan means to the manufacturing industry sector.
Well, we certainly would be excited to see that report, because Lou and I are always kind of looking at each other going, okay, you know, they passed this tax, whatever it was, reform, rebuild, whatever they did, but what's the real impact on manufacturing? And everybody talks about, you know, the rates are going down and what's in the plan, but I guess we're trying to forecast the future. What is going to be the real impact? And we just don't know yet.
Well, they haven't finished reading it yet.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, and the, you know, and the whole issue around interest deductions, and you know, the issue around interest rate increases at the Fed, and selling back $4+ trillion worth of bonds into the market, extracting cash out. These are all going to be factors that play in 2018, and what the net effect is anybody's guess at this point.
I know the Jerseyites are not happy about the deduction of real estate tax off of their income tax. Not happy about that. We pay the most taxes in the country on almost on a per capita basis, and now we can't take a deduction against it. So people aren't really happy about that.
Yeah, you're right, and I'm from Connecticut, so I have a similar situation, and you know,
yes,
California does too. So I don't think we're going to really understand it until you do your 2017 taxes, and then you look at it and say, what if? You know, what happens next year when I can't do this?
I think that's true, although CBS did a report with a CPA firm, and it was on California individuals and their income rates and their property taxes. They can no longer deduct, expecting that it was going to be a horror story and very bad news and the tax plan was going to be awful. Turned out in the three scenarios that they put forth, one of which is you can no longer deduct your property taxes, but you're making between $150,000 and $200,000, you're actually going to end up better off, and overall you'll pay less taxes anyway. So I think everybody's going to be surprised, I think, that this is not as awful as they might anticipate.
The state of Connecticut.
Go ahead. I was going to say, I think it's amazing that something as complicated as our tax laws could be changed in the space of 6 weeks.
Yeah, I would agree with you there.
It took them 30 years to do it.
Yeah, right. And they did it in 6 weeks. You know, one of the areas that you just touched on briefly, Tim, I'd like you to go into a little more depth on is exports and imports, which have been showing very strong. I know the dollar seems to be slightly weakening against other currencies. So what's our expectation there? What are we reporting here?
Yeah, so let me take the imports first. I normally don't spend a lot of time on the imports, but I think the import story is interesting this month. So for the first time since I've been doing the report, we actually expanded substantially in the import side by 3 points. Over the period of 2017, we've been expanding, but not at great rates, and you know, a few points above the 50, and then this month we jumped up to 57.5. So it's like, why was that? So taking a look at some of the comments and stuff we have is, and then this may have factored into the inventory number. There were quite a few comments about from companies who are buying stuff from Southeast Asia and the you know, the upcoming Chinese New Year that actually starts in mid-February. So, and you know, does that have an impact on us? Now, we've got big, strong production number, big, strong new order number, growth in imports. I mean, the imports feed right into production. It's all, quote, raw material semi-finished goods, inputs for production. So the import number went up. Could it be that people are staging material for use in January, February, March, because it'll be nearly impossible to get goods starting somewhere around the first week of February, probably through the first week of March? It'd be very difficult to get that. So is that why the import number is up, and is that why the inventory number has gained higher than I thought that it would? Good question. Did get some comments on it, though. So that could be what's driving that. And then on the export side, I mean, it just continues. We continue to export at a strong level. I think exports in the manufacturing economy are somewhere in the mid double digits, 15 or 13% of total GDP output. We've had pretty good strength in that area for quite some time. And, we had 10 of our 18 industries reporting growth in export orders. And, I mean, computer and electronic products is a big one. Machinery is a big one. I mean, those are all expanding at greater than 50%. Chemical products, transportation equipment, cars, trucks, chemicals are probably, it could be basic chemicals. So, most of our industry sectors supported the export side too. So, in keeping with this plus report, it was just, five of our six big industry sectors contributed to the export number.
Just an add-on to your comments about export orders, and you don't hear much about it. A lot of people don't know about it, and there aren't too many companies that are registered as what they call ICDISC, disc corporations, which the government really doesn't promote that much. But basically what it is, and I'm bringing this up for the sake of our listeners, that the government does offer a 20% tax forgiveness on all goods and services that are exported from this country. And again, it's not widely talked about, not widely known. You do have to create what they call a disc corporation. It's a separate company. So we would have All Metals and Forge Disc, and you get a 20% forgiveness on your export goods and services. And like I said, it's not talked about, but 20% is 20%.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Well, Tim, with no headwinds to report, a lot of upside in this report. If things continue through the end of April, that's another 4 months, this will become the second longest expansion in U.S. history since World War II. So is there anything else you would like to throw in here before we wrap up this segment with you?
Yeah, so working with the team in Tempe, we've been looking at the PMI cycles back in 1950. And we've seen some as long as 70 months, and we've seen some 40 to 45 months. There's about 11 cycles, and the average is about 34 to 36 months. But like I said, we've seen two or three at the 42, 45 level, and we've seen one, I think, as long as 70. So, we're saying here that we're 16 months into this cycle, and I think I've mentioned to you guys before that if you exclude the contraction in August 2016, we're actually 22 months into a cycle. So, with everything that's happening here, the real positive demand-driven growth in manufacturing, now supported by fiscal efforts from the U.S. government, offset somewhat by monetary policy that will start to take some money out. Are we looking at a 45 month expansion cycle here? I mean, could very well be, which puts us not even at halfway. So depending on whether you count that contraction in August of 2016.
Well, just as to sum up my view of it, I did win $10 on a bet on today's number at 59.7. I think I'm going to double down, as they say in Washington, and I'm going to increase that bet for next month.
That would be probably a good thing to do.
Okay. Not sure the Vegas odds makers will give you big numbers on it, though, Lou.
No, probably not. Probably not. Tim, it's great always talking to you. A happy new year to you and all the folks at ISM. And enjoyed having you. Thank you very much.
Yeah, same here, guys. Good speaking with you and talk with you next month. So hopefully we'll see something like what we saw this month.
Keep doing a good job.
Thanks, guys.
You're welcome. And we've been speaking with Tim Fiore, who's the committee chair for the Manufacturing Report on Business. We've got a terrific report this month, so tune into this show. And as always, go to mfgtalkradio.com for any of our shows. And also, we are working on a new website. I'm not quite sure when it'll be launched, but it is for women and manufacturing. If you look at the umbrella company that we're with, which is the Manufacturing Broadcasting Corporation, under which Manufacturing Talk Radio exists, that's where women and manufacturing also exists. And so tune into those pages. You can find them at mfgtalkradio.com for now. Lou, have you got a website address yet for the WAM?
Yeah, we do, but I'm not willing to release it yet. But the point that I'm jumping up and down here is that I wanted to make sure our listeners are aware that our 8th or 9th WAM show is on in about a half hour from now. At
okay.
mfgtalkradio.com, and you'll see the WAM purple logo, and actually it is a re-airing of a prior show that was really a terrific show, and I recommend that everyone now go to lunch, go to the soda machine and the sandwich machine for a half hour or so, and then tune into WAM at mfgtalkradio.com.
And that's wrapped us up for our breaking news on the ISM report. We'll be back with you soon for more on Manufacturing Talk Radio. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for joining us on Manufacturing Talk Radio. You can hear our next broadcast each Tuesday at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time at mfgtalkradio.com.